I have never done what I'm about to do. That's preach without notes. As a matter of fact, the only words are words on my heart and in my head and on the sheet in front of you, and that will help both keep this to be an effective, timely word for you. We are from Evangel. I was driving just this week, and the Lord planted that title in my mind for this meditation as clear as though He'd sent a word from an angel in heaven. We are from Evangel. Anytime you say that in our culture, you can mean one of two things. You can mean representation. I am from the insurance company and I'm here to process your claim. That's a good word. I'm here from human resources. I want to review your benefits. There was a word I remember the hunters in my very first church to say they never wanted to hear. I'm from the DNR and I'm here too. You can be represented when you say, I'm from a place. You also can talk about relocation. I'm from Michigan, meaning you used to live there. I'm from Sweden, a country of origin. Soon I'm going to say, I'm from Illinois. Sometimes it simply means I used to live there or I grew up there and I could go back. Other times it means I can never return. There is a little bit of each of those expressions as I think about our position. We are from Evangel. We can never go back, but we do represent what was here. I thought about what to share with you. I first was tracking in my mind and heart sort of famous last words and had a chance to look at a few dying last words, actually. I bet you didn't know this, that John F. Kennedy's very last words were, "No, you certainly can't." That was in response to Mrs. John Connolly's comment to him, where she said, "Mr. President, you surely cannot say that the people of Dallas have not given you a warm welcome." "No, you certainly can't," he said, and moments later was killed. Or how about this? "Thomas Jefferson lives." That was the last words of our second president, John Adams, and actually were inaccurate. Thomas Jefferson, that same day, actually died several hours earlier, several hundred miles away. But to his bitter political rival, Adams said, "Thomas Jefferson lives on July 4th, 1826, 50 years to the day from the Declaration of Independence." And just to sort of raise our minds and hearts a little bit, Dolores Hope, in asking her husband, "Where would you like to be buried?" And Bob said, "Surprise me." His death had been inaccurately reported 5 years before from the Associated Press, and he died at age 100 in the year 2003. I thought about famous last words, but really it's the fond farewell idea that I think grips our hearts and minds. And I just found some of these and how well they speak to where we're at today. The author of Winnie the Pooh said, "How lucky I am to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard." How about this from Dr. Seuss? "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened." "Great is the art of beginning," said the poet Longfellow, "but greater is the art of ending." We've tried to do a bit of that today. "So long as the memory of certain beloved friends lives in my heart, I shall say that life is good." This place will be gone for us and very different, but our memories never, never leave us. I don't know who said this, but I sure enjoy it. Goodbyes are not forever. Goodbyes are not the end. They simply mean I'll miss you until we meet again. That has tinges of Christian theology in it, doesn't it? There's an emphasis we want to do today, at least I do as your pastor. And it's taken from Paul's example in Acts chapter 20, the reason why I chose that among many other references to read today. The story of his ministry in Ephesus is a dramatic one. It's told in the chapter immediately before that, as Dr. Luke writes out the dramatic instance of Paul arriving in that city, of anointing some with the gift of the Holy Spirit, of teaching for an extended period of time, of eventually being involved in social disturbance. A public riot took place because of the impact of Christianity. But the Apostle Paul in chapter 20 is leaving this group of people, and he very much wants to share his heart and life with them. And so the story, as it begins in verse 17 or 18 of that very chapter, is Paul opening his heart. It's an unusual thing we perceive from him. He tends to be much more of the thinker, and only on occasion seems to open his heart in his writings. But here we see it in an actual words recorded by Luke in this gospel. Paul shares his affection with them. He talks about the integrity of his life and how he lived it and the honesty he tried to show. He said, "I have overcome all of the challenges that I faced as a missionary. Despite the tears and challenges and struggles, I wanted to serve, and with joy do I continue my ministry. That will not stop me." He gave them a sense of his affirmations to them. He warned them about the risk and danger of establishing a strong church that affirmed God's word and lived it out with integrity and holiness, the difficulty that would come not just from the culture, but from within their own body. Men like ravenous wolves was his expression. He talked about the power of the joy of Christ and the meaning that that was meant to have to his people. "Stay the course," he said. And finally, at the end, after pouring his heart out, after relaying to them the truth of all that was there, the account tells us that they went to the sandy shore to see Paul depart on the ship. They knelt down. He prayed for them. They wept together. That was me last Sunday. And prayed for one another as they departed. Paul acknowledged to them very openly, "For you, you will never see my face again." I hope that's not my experience with you. I'm not departing for the city of Rome or leaving too far away. We are crossing the cheese curtain by God's grace, but it is yet close, and we hope to see you again. That's exemplified by Paul, and it gave me a mind to encourage you with a couple of things as we depart this morning. Affirm God's leading in this instance. We've tracked this journey on more than one occasion during our times together, and it has been a journey. You've been privileged by God's providence to be part of something very significant. We've watched something unfold, not knowing the end, and now we're at the end. We've seen God work. We have seen God lead. We believe that He is in this. Words from Pastor Dave certainly affirm that from the other side of the equation as to how God has led us. From renewal to realignment, to retirement, God has put us in this place. We need to affirm His role. We need to acknowledge our loss. There was nothing unspiritual or untoward or uncomfortable about you saying, as several have already said, it is painful not to know that this church is here in its place as it has been. Next Sunday, that stark reality will become rather evident, won't it? We will be in different places, or here, well, not quite next Sunday, but in a couple of weeks at least, here with a very different structure, very different people. We've come to love the structure of this church, and not with all due respect to Sister Audrey, the paint and the walls and the carpet and the doors and the pews, that's been warm and comforting, but the structure of what we've become familiar with. The order of service, I hope I've not fallen into a rut, but I've fallen into what I think is the best. I've used a hymn for many years to sort of guide us throughout the worship service, and that's become a comfort to us. There's a sense of structure in how we do things, a structure of anticipation that's been healthy and good and positive. There is a loss of our fellow saints. Some of us will see each other with some frequency, but for many of us, this could be our last face-to-face meeting this side of glory. How wonderful it was to see some of you come back today. Members who were here in my early years here, others who are part of our history, have come back today to acknowledge what God did in this place. From baby dedications to club programs to VBS to ministry to commissioning services, this was a place that God spoke to you, and that is a loss. We should shed a tear. We have lost something well. But so long as the memory of certain beloved friends lives in my heart, I shall say that life is good. And Helen Keller said that without being able to put faces to voices. She spoke a deep and powerful truth. I want you not only to affirm that you've been part of God's story, not only to acknowledge your loss, but to adapt to the change. adapt to the change. I would give you two words. Carry your memories by conversing regularly. It helps to remember things by speaking about them. Talk and share together as you meet, as you think, in your family units. Speak about what this church meant. It will help you remember. Carry your ministry forward and do that quickly. Do not become what's a rising statistic in our culture, the unchurched Christian. The unchurched Christian. A follower of Jesus who feels no deep connection whatsoever to a specific local body. It's an effort to get up on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night and go to church. You're giving up something else. You're choosing to sacrifice because God has called you and claims you as His own. He is Lord of your life. Do so. Several years ago, when we were contemplating the second building project here in our church, I preached a series of messages on spiritual disciplines, what I thought would be helpful ways to really reprioritize what we were about. And so I adapt those partly for your benefit this morning. How do you continue your ministry? I think they are wrapped around four key activities. Public worship. Get to church. Get to church. Your new pastor will love that. Your new treasurer will love that. New boards may love that as well. Get to church. Express public worship with regularity. Personal growth. Be a Christian who is growing and maturing. Continue your activity of reading the Bible as I have encouraged you since the very first year I was here. We've traveled through many Bible reading plans and programs here as I have endeavored to cause you to grow in personal grace and goodness. Grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is how Peter ended one of his letters. It's not enough to depend on your pastor's preaching to cause you to grow in Christ. You need to put forth some effort as well. I'll have a bit more time over the next months than I've had in the last few months, and I've thought about some goals I want to challenge myself to do. 10 chapters a day in the Bible. That's a pretty deep stretch, but I'd like to do that. I'd like to read American history for 1,776 seconds a day. That's about 29 minutes. Doesn't seem far. Number chosen specifically. To talk about and remember how God has worked in our nation's history. Those would be some goals to me. I'd like to become a walker. I told Jenny just yesterday, if I'm going to walk, I need new shoes. Personally grow. Private gatherings. Gail mentioned this morning the challenge of attending a large church and never meeting the same people at consecutive worship services, a reality in many churches. Find a place that's smaller and more private, a small group. How many have been blessed in this church by being part of a small group, as they've laughed together, shared together, prayed together, cried together. Private gatherings. Finally, an expression of practical service. That church that you will be going to, go to serve. We got a very gracious note from Sylvia O'Connor, who only attended this church for just a year or so. The first Sunday she was here, she helped serve Connections. The first Sunday she was here, she'd never darkened the doors, knew absolutely no one, but said, "It looks like you could use some help, and I'd be happy to help." She went from that to attending, to joining, to be a board member, and then she moved away, and that was all accomplished in less than a year and a half. She served. Find a place of service within your church, within your community. Why? Because you are from Evangel. And that's what we do. We worship. We grow. We gather. We serve. We cannot go back to our old church. Oh, a few of us will be here this week for backyard Bible clubs, and my office is not yet empty. But for most of you, we will not be back here. We can go on to serve in a new community. As former baseball announcer and the voice of baseball when I was growing up, Ernie Harwell, 42 years the voice of the Detroit Tigers, and a strong, faithful, and passionate Christian, said, "It's time to say goodbye. But I think goodbyes are sad. I'd much rather say, hello. Hello to a new adventure." May others say of us and our values, we are from Evangel. Amen.